I am Platt on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Alvin Iresca Tolentino joins me again, the founder and artistic director of Company Iresca, previews the world premiere production Offering, which was created out of the time of the pandemic and unfortunately has been affected by it this week. When we taped this interview nearly 3 weeks ago, the show was to have taken place at another venue, live stream, with limited tickets for in-person attendance. However, with the various regulations in place, it will now be at New Westminster's Anvil Centre, live-streamed, this Saturday and Sunday, the 28th and 29th of November. Tickets for the stream are available at companyiresca.ca. They're $25 and $20 for students, seniors, and artists. I get Alvin to preview Offering, the genesis of this production, what he asked and asks of his dancers, who are Joshua Oncol, Olivia Schaefer, Mark Arboleda, Antonio Samara, Molly McDermott, and Marissa Wong. I'll also get Mr. Tolentino to reflect on this, the 20th anniversary season of the acclaimed dance company based in Vancouver. The company has toured its contemporary dance productions in over 60 different cities in Asia, Europe, and South America. We'll also discuss the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic on the arts, but also the dancer, the person who uses their body as artistic expression. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Alvin Iresca Tolentino. Mr. Tolentino, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So congratulations on the 20th season of Company Iresca. I guess it's a season like no other.
It's an unprecedented season, that's for sure.
Like everything else, isn't it?
The word anymore.
Yeah.
It's been quite a challenging year for not only for Company Iresca, but for a lot of arts organization and artists, for sure.
Yeah, the challenges of COVID, the living through a pandemic, and of course the isolation that we're all in the midst of, you know, in various degrees, obviously. That's at the heart of Offering, isn't it?
In some ways, because you know, I mean, dance has been so affected in uh-huh. terms of the context of the social distancing. You know, we all move together as dancers, uh-huh. Especially when you're working with an ensemble. And with this project, I had to really readapt and just be with the concerns of the artists and how we can dance together. And so we have to do it individually and make a solo work instead of a group piece. So that's been kind of the challenge, and at the same time trying to figure out a way to continue the work that we do as dancers and artists in the studio, and to make sure that the level of the comfort of everyone is also good and that they're all healthy. That's been part of the core issues that we're dealing with this project, and just trying to make sure that we can keep it forward.
Yeah, so I'll ask you about what we'll see, but what will it look like at the Roundhouse in terms of how many people will be there, and I understand, will there be a streaming element as well?
Yeah, well, there's been a new development, actually, because as we speak, the Roundhouse is going to be closed.
I see.
It's not been approved for fully opening, and so we have been in negotiation with another theater, uh-huh. which will be the Anvil Center in New Westminster, and so we are deciding to move the entire project there in order for us to be able to actually proceed with the project. So these are the kind of issues that we're dealing with during the pandemic, because yeah. the Roundhouse has not been fully approved by the city to allow the public to actually enter the space and make sure that all of the health protocols are met. And yeah. so it's been in the last minute of negotiation to make sure that we can actually proceed and present the project. But the Anvil Center is set for us to be able to do the project there, and that's basically what we're going to do. Basically, what's going to happen is that there will be seven solo mm-hmm. for this production, and the idea is to present it live, to present it to a limited audience that can attend doing social distancing inside a theater, and there will be also a slot for a live streaming that can be virtually worldwide.
Yeah.
And the goal of the company is to be able to put the production in a stage setting where there will be lights and costume, blackouts and entrance and exits, like a normal production.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really our goal, and to sustain the possibility of presenting live performances, of course, with response to the health protocols and measures that needs to be implemented.
So for people listening to us, the best thing to do is to follow along on companyoroskadance.ca.
That's correct.
For details and information.
There will be a live streaming, So any new update, and as we all know, we don't know what the numbers of the COVID-19 will be like
in
a week or 2 weeks, so anything could happen, right?
Yeah,
we may go to a lockdown in a week. Nobody knows. Mm. So we're being very assertive about this context of really following as much as we can on a daily basis. It's the best that we could do, really.
Yeah. Let's talk about offering in terms of how you put a show like this together, and you as who's in charge of the production, what you ask of your dancers. I'm interested to know what are some of the initial questions that you're asking of your dancers as you mount a show like this.
Well, we began to come back to the studio right just after the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So I've decided to connect with all of the dancers and ask them whether they would be willing to come back to work and whether their sense of comfort would be okay. And they've all decided that they are willing to come to the studio. Of course, we implemented some health protocols, how to go about that we could only rehearse like maybe two or three people.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it will not be an ensemble group work where they can touch, and so it would have to be individually executed. And so I've decided that I would make six, seven solo instead of a group ensemble. And I began by asking each of the dancers in terms of course, how they are during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and what's happened to them, and how they feel about being constrained and being confined inside their homes and not being able to go out as much and actually be in the studio and train and dance. And so we started with that, and to really look at in terms of how the body is expressing that context of limitation and isolation. And I also questioned and asked about, you know, what's happening in the world with all the suffering that we're going through, and how can dance and how can art become an embodiment of something that we can offer for humanity? You know, if dance as a medium can express something, what would it be? And I thought, could the body become a prayer or a sense of offering for humanity? And so those questions were really talked about in the process, in the creation, in the spring and summer. And so this context of offering, the idea of being selfless and dancing for the world, not so much dancing for self or for one dancer, but trying to really bring the body for this idea of I'm dancing for all and for everybody and for the spirit of the people that are suffering and that are in isolation and confinement. And so that's been kind of the premise of where we're at and how we're executing the sense of dance and the choreography together as an entity. It's been a really interesting process, I think, for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some emotional and psychological context, how the dancers approach it. And perhaps this winter has been a little easier because, you know, the summer has passed and
mm-hmm.
there's been a little bit more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a little bit more of secureness and adaptation, how to go about with with COVID-19 and the protocols, so there's a bit of a comfort in the uncomfortable situation, if I can say that. Mm. And so the body is a little bit more freer, but at the same time still honing that information of how can the body become a sense of prayer and selfless and offering. So that's where the title comes from.
Yeah. Alvin, as someone who has taught and performed and who's been in the world of dance and the mind of dance, if you will, can it heal? I mean, does it have the power to heal?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's because I'm going to start with the dancer. I think for them to be able to come back and be with their body and work with their body is just so tremendous and such a release. And also what we found is that there's a mental hardness with all of the pandemic. And for us to be able to gather in a space and talk about where we're at as artists and individuals has been really healing. And I would say that the community is really hungry to see art, to see culture. And, you know, for us to be able to just continue, you know, to sustain in this context of art continuity is really important and relevant. And I think that's really where the healing starts, is that I would say that more than ever, people are relying on what they can see on live stream or, you know, or listening to music or listening to movie. These are all contexts and forms of connecting, you know. And art has been pivotal, I think, and very sustaining for that. And in a way, as artists, we're also at the forefront of the pandemic, trying to really keep up the idea of culture when time is hard, you know, and how can people rely on seeing things, hearing things, listening to things, and that's really when art and culture comes. And so hard for dance because of the context of social distancing, but there's ways to go about it, and live streaming has been very instrumental at the moment, and how we're able to really go virtual and reach as much audience as we can possibly be. It's not the same as seeing it live, but it's possibility.
Yeah, indeed. You mentioned something earlier that I hadn't thought about, even as I was preparing for our conversation today, how these past few months have been quite isolating and confining for a lot of people. For someone in dance, I mean, the body is such a part of your work.
Of what we do.
Yeah. I can't imagine what it's like to have to deal with isolation and with confinement, say.
Yeah. It's been, I don't think that I have ever experienced such a time in my dance career. And it really allows me to question about what we do as dancers and choreographers, and how we treat the body, and how essential it is, but also how do we provoke and provide new things? How do we work with it? And so that's also been a big question for me, and certainly for a lot of the dancers.
These past 20 years, the success of the company, could you have imagined how it all turned out, say, 20 years ago?
Never. You mean in the situation that we're in?
Or not even considering the last few months, but I mean, over the last, say, 19 years, you've had tremendous success in this city and around the world. That must be something that you're proud of.
I am. I mean, you know, we had such a great plan for this year, and we really wanted to reach out to, you know, to all of the artists and the partners that we have that have really made the company so successful. I mean, we do things in collaboration with so many artists and arts organizations here at home, nationally and international. So, you know, I feel really blessed, and I'm grateful for for all those time and years that we have managed. I mean, we've also worked very hard to sustain the company and to fight for what we have as an arts organization. But we've been lucky with that, and I hope that we can continue also. So, and more than ever, I'm really with gratitude for, you know, for the things that I have.
Well, one of the things that you're most known for in this city and beyond is you're somebody who's been at the fore of cross-cultural dialogue, especially in dance, especially in the arts. What do you tell people who might doubt the importance of that?
Well, what I have known and what I have learned about cross-collaboration is that it has really taught me to understand the cultures of other people and the cultures of other artists. And I think that it's so... it has allowed me to really educate myself about the context of cultural diversity. Mm-hmm. And we are in such a pivotal moment right now with cultural shift, mm-hmm. as you know. And more than ever, I think it is more relevant to understand what that is. And so I cannot argue enough how relevant and important this cross-collaboration that I have really experienced. It has just really given me a wealth of knowledge and understanding in terms of the people that work across the globes about how they go about their own ways of dealing with obstacles in their own cultures and in their own individuality, in their own arts centers and arts programming and their funding agencies. All of that comes into play with arts and collaboration across nations and across the world. And so it's really just opened my eyes into so many things, and that's why I've really continued to persist. Educated me more than ever about what I know in the arts and how people manage even working with remote places that have very little resources, but their sense of spirits about how to work and their belief and their resistance and also their ways of going forward to make sure that they can express and be part of their artistic excellence and work has been really inspiring for me. I mean, I've traveled to South America and Asia in remote places that have very little resources, but they're also high spirited in making sure that they can do what they believe in. And so those are the things that I really hold on to in knowing about cross collaboration.
And you've done a marvelous job over the last 20 years, two decades, in terms of bringing that to audiences in this town. And I think as you celebrate the 20th anniversary of the company, I think we should recognize how important that's been, especially here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I'm thrilled to have Vancouver as a home base, as a starting point. And so everything that I do outside either starts here, it goes out, and then it comes back here. So it's great. It's been really great with that.
It's been nice talking again. I don't know if I'm supposed to say break a leg to a dancer, but
yeah, definitely. I hope so. Yeah, we're hanging on to all the challenges, and our goal is to be able to move forward and proceed with the best that we can, either with our live performances and also going live streaming.
Indeed. All the best. Thanks for this, Alvin.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The website is at companyaraskadance.ca. That's where you can get information on how to get tickets for the live stream this Saturday, the 28th, and this Sunday, the 29th of November. Alvin Araska Tolentino joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.